Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and
Good evening. Welcome. You're tuning in real live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with you, girl. Your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Come on, check on in. It's been a while. We were out last week anticipating the weather being, you know, a little too bad, only to get home to discover, womp, womp, womp. So, but nonetheless, we're here coming to you live from the Taking the Limits Off studio located in the great Ebenezer Baptist Church with my favorite producer, lose him a little later. Anyway, go ahead and share this video. We have a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking about attachment issues, and I do have a poll question once we get settled in. Is it possible for adults to have attachment issues? Is it possible for adults to have attachment issues? And when you that, you know, we always talk about mental wellness and what that looks like. And also, let me just pause and say that what this show is about. We've been at this since October, right? We're almost at 6 months. Yes. And so our mission is to talk about most vulnerable topics as it relates to mental wellness, mental disorders, emotional issues, relationships, all impacts us on a day-to-day, but we can recover, we can rebound, and definitely shattering the stigma of talking about this issue, which I think is a hindrance and a barrier to people seeking help, mental health counseling, or even psychiatric help because they feel like an outcast or it's shunned in certain communities. And so we are destined, we are on a mission to make sure we open up, you know, the airwaves to say, hey, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay that it's in our families. It's okay to get help. It's okay to get treatment. It's okay to check into a hospital if you need to be, because if that's going to save your life, right, if you're having suicidal ideations or thoughts of suicide and you're actually planning it out, or you're having a nervous breakdown, or things are overwhelming for you, we have levels of care that can help you wherever you are. We meet you wherever you are. And so, you know, we want to make sure that although we talk about very serious issues, that we are relatable. Right. We want to make sure that, you know, if you have questions, you can email us at, you know, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net or Healthy Soul Talk if you want further clinical information, because there we offer mental health counseling. We have specialties that we do there, outpatient substance use treatment for DUIs as well as court mandates. And we also focus on domestic violence for the aggressors, whether that's self-referred or a mandated population. So we take very serious issues, and we want to make sure we are helping people with quality through quality services as well as quality staff. We definitely have a team there that's ready and available to help you with whatever issues you have. And so, welcome again to the Healthy Soul Talk Show. Good evening, Shionte. Thank you for joining us. We have a great show lined up talking about healing from attachment issues. And we have that poll question out there talking about, is it possible for adults to have attachment issues? And so definitely want to dive into that because a lot is going on today, right, where people are trying to feel love and belonging. People are trying to connect. People are trying to make sure they stay in relationships, so companionship, or whether that's friendship. So I've seen a lot, experienced a lot, and, you know, where people are hurting as well as thriving in healthy interactions. Right? So, producer, because I think that I've talked enough for these minutes, right, to let you get yourself together to come on in here. Your battery dead. You took both of them out, but that's okay. Let's keep going. All right. So I just want to send prayers up to Tennessee. You know, I think the impact is it 22 lives. Last I heard, was it more? Okay, I believe so. And so I was listening to the radio. So definitely our prayers are going out to them. You know, it's really, we're in praying times, right? And I think that it's time for genuine prayers and not, you know, I'm praying for you, right? If you say you pray for someone, please pray for them, right? The prayers of the righteous avail as much. And I believe that, you know, that is the least we can do, is send up genuine prayers from the heart, that people are hurting and people feel anger and people feel, you know, support that they can recover from this, as well as they have our support. So please, when you say I'm praying, make sure you are praying, all right? And so, of course, we know that this virus going around, which you bring up on your show, keep us updated. You know, I feel some type of way, right? You know.
About the corona?
Well, you know, of course, it's not.
That's
only.
Why I drink Dos Equis.
That's why what?
I drink Dos Equis. We know. I'm sorry. Sorry, my.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
You should have let my mic stay dead. I was doing good over here with no mic. You should have just left me alone.
You know what? I told the kids, I said, you know, I'm a supplement fanatic. Mm-hmm. So I take all the vitamin C's and omega-3 and garlic pills and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have the entire house loaded up. Mm-hmm. On supplements, huh?
Okay.
We gonna go from the inside out.
Okay.
Wash your hands, but make sure we build up these immune systems, right, to fight this here, you know, virus that's going around. That I believe another case was reported when I checked the news this morning. So I'm on. So I'm on it. Nothing. Right?
Okay.
My immune system. Gonna be.
Is it? And I know you're not a. I shouldn't use the term medical doctor,
correct.
Right? But why does all this stuff originate in China?
Well, I don't have a say so over that.
I'm just saying. Why does it like everything coming from that way?
But when you think about it, though, I don't know. I have my views about that. I think that's the scapegoat, you know, in terms of, or if that is the case, how do we not know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that it warrants, I believe in taking care of yourself, you know, not just fitness wise, but making sure that you eat healthy, you know, we wash our food and we do things the best way we can. And so, you know, when you live, you are often. People who are impacted are those who have, you know, health conditions or, you know, they have other things going on. And so I do believe in making sure you at least whatever you're putting in your body, that it's consistent, right, to making sure even with a common cold, right, even with, you know, these other communicable diseases, we have our fair share. We have our share of communicable diseases, which we always have to be in tune with, right? And Chionte, we see you. We see that comment. We about to work on it.
Here comes the choppiness.
Yeah, she said, oops, here comes the choppiness. Okay, can you refresh your screen to see if it's still there? We have a couple of screens open over here. But we're going to work on it too. So really thinking about, Because a part of my job is getting annual TB tests, right? It's a requirement because we do outpatient substance use treatment. And mm-hmm. if you work in the jail setting, you have to get it. If you work in a hospital, you have to get it. So I think that some professions warrant a consistency, mm-hmm. right? And making sure you stay as healthy as possible. And so that kind of ran across my mind with, you know, how do we educate people, not just per se, panicking about the virus that's going around, but can we push to people, you know, take care of themselves and load up more on, you know, health supplements? That's so, right? If it happens, then your body can fight.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that makes it kind of where I was and like kicked in overdrive with like, okay, 2000 milligrams of vitamin C a day is here we come. So have you done anything different?
No.
Don't.
I'm a hand washer anyway.
You can't. Okay.
I'm a hand washer.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of hand sanitizer at all.
Right. Now, do you get a chance to wash your hands a lot at the school?
I do. I use the hand sanitizer in the classroom, but if I'm close to the restroom, I'm gonna go in there and wash my hands. I wash my hands
every
time I leave
okay.
the classroom.
Okay.
Every time.
Okay.
Yeah, without fail. I'm always snacking, so my hands got to be clean.
Got it.
Always got to snack.
And like I said, I think a part of it is good practice, right? Kids, especially if you work around kids, you're always around a lot of people in the public. I think good practice, good habits you know, has to be there as well. So I'm just more conscious, right, of, like you said, washing hands, making sure you get your sleep, your rest. I think all that plays a part.
Right, right.
So some things may be inevitable, right? If we're saying it's a communicable disease, right, you just, you know, masks per se won't stop you from getting that. Yeah. So that's my little two cents. Well, welcome. You're tuning in live to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your girl, your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Thank you for joining in. We're about to get into the subject matter.
I'm just wondering.
What you want? What are you wondering?
Where's our
who are we looking out for?
Where's our did you know section? Y'all be trying to flip up some stuff on me. The set did that on Thursday. Did no grind of the week. Y'all are getting lazy. That's what it is.
You know what? It is not getting lazy.
What you call it?
Okay.
What you call it?
There's some things we make sure we check in with the people all now.
Okay.
But it'll be back next week.
See,
I promise you.
People. See, okay.
You're the one talking about the bets yesterday. Threw me all off. And then David sends me a video of a person eating bats. Man, what is going on? Lord help the people in these bats and eating bats. And you talking about rabies and why do we need bats? The Lord created bats.
I just want to know the purpose. I found out. I looked it up. I saw what purpose they serve and everything. I just wanted to know what was what.
What they have, okay? There you have
it.
No, we
I'm done.
Hold on. Do you have the march wellness plan, huh? For the journey to 50.
Her name is Latonya Melton.
No, you're the journey to 50. You are the captain.
She gets the information from me, and you know, the problem is, yeah, it's gonna be posted tonight. It's gonna be posted tonight. Actually, it's gonna be posted tonight. Seriously, it's gonna get posted tonight.
Oh, God. I'm ready. I think I've been doing pretty well, but listen.
Have you been keeping it up or you?
No, I'm going to tell you where my downfall was.
Uh-oh.
This Tuesday called Fat Tuesday that I have never heard of.
Never Fat Tuesday in your whole life?
Not in terms of asking me to celebrate it, and this is how we celebrate it, right? So I wasn't really in tune with it because it came right before Lent, right? And so I listened to the radio. There was a personality on saying about some pączki's, you know, this Polish dessert. This is how it's celebrated. And so, you know, the kids were like, the family was like, okay, you know, what are we doing for? Never have we did this. I think they did that on purpose. Sabotaged.
So what you saying?
So I celebrated Fat Tuesday.
I'm just waiting on the right. You tell him, but you ain't telling.
I celebrated Fat Tuesday.
Okay then. All right. Okay.
Oh God.
Okay. I've been maintaining. I mean, I've had. I've had red meat. But I haven't hung it once a week. I've had red meat. You have not.
No, I'm not.
So were you a red meat eater before?
Not a lot, right? So it was very sporadic, right? Okay. Because we kind of watched that a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a lot, right? But I have not had it. I didn't have it for the month of February.
Okay.
I had chicken and salmon and other fish.
Okay.
Indeed.
All right, so let's do this. Let's take a break. And then I'm gonna do something with the Facebook feed. And,
okay.
And then yeah, we'll do that.
Let's do it. You got some house music for me?
Not nothing new because you ain't sent me no new list.
You know the percolator is always
you
in order.
You didn't send me a new list. I just want to put that out there for the people. You know, I'm just throwing people under the bus day.
That is okay. If you ready,
it's time for the percolator. 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 percolator. It's time for the 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 percolator. Percolator.
Attachment.
No, but I'm ready to push buttons.
Spin you ready? You out?
I'm ready to spin records.
Listen, okay, tonight is going to be a little, you know, touchy, right? Because it's like we're talking about something that potentially starts in childhood, and it's like, okay, can you have attachment issues as adults? Right. And so what does that look like when you have unaddressed issues, you know, based on what happened to you, you know, growing up? So that poll question is coming. It's very relevant because we're talking about how you form healthy attachments, meaning just how you communicate, how you relate in relationships. What do you know? How do you know what your needs are? How do you relate those needs? And then what could potentially be unhealthy, right, about how you attach to people? So I don't want people to think that the word attachment is something negative, right, because we all have an attachment style. Does that make sense? In which the attachment style is based on how you grew up, okay? And so when you think about that, you say, okay, right, how is it possible for adults to have attachment issues? Welcome, Shiontae. I hope this is better. Give me a thumbs up if it is. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for joining us. We're just talking about healing from attachment issues, and is it possible for adults to have attachment issues based on unresolved issues in childhood? So let me put this out there. So do you think that culture plays a part in how we attach to people in our adulthood? Do you think we have some cultural considerations? Like, you know, if we think about the African-American community, right, you know, some of us have families where it was certain people or certain ages where you couldn't show affection, right, to members of families or outside, even close friends. Then you have some family members who didn't show affection at all, right, depending on, you know, what the thought process is or was, right, for just showing affection. I'm just going to take that part right there. So how would you describe affection or demonstration of affection in your family growing up? So those of you who've tuned in, if you can go ahead and share this video. We had to restart it from part two. We took a break, but now we're jumping right on into the subject matter. And we just want to start off by talking about how actually did you grow up, right? Did you grow up with a family who showed affection, meaning hugs, even words of encouragement, saying that they love you, right? So outright that they love you, kissing you. Did you get shown that in your family, or was it something different, standoffish? So producer, what are your thoughts? And of course, I'm going to join in too.
Good.
Right.
So what are your thoughts?
That. Don't do that.
So how do you feel?
Right.
What'd you say now? What'd you say?
So listen.
Listen, Linda. Linda, listen.
You know what? My family did show affection, especially big gathering. We often hug each other. You know, that was a great concern. So always a genuine interest, right, in how you doing, how's everything going. So a big hug in family. But what also came with the discipline was, you know, after you got that, you know, good old
right.
spanking,
right.
You got what, you know, I love you, right? I'm doing this because, you know, I love you, right? But I did grow up in a family that did actively demonstrate that they love, you know, that they love you and they said it, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so how about you?
My mom and my great grandmother weren't big on. I don't think they did a lot of affection.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I don't recall a lot of over the top. Yeah, I don't recall a lot of over the top affection. I remember getting hugs and, you know, and stuff like that, but I don't remember a whole lot of, you know, pick me up, come sit in my lap and all that kind of stuff. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that. I think I got it when it was needed.
Got it. That makes sense.
I think
right?
I got it when it was needed.
Because essentially what we're going to lead into is talking about what happens when you don't have that, right? What happens when you grow up in a family where they are, you know, there's constant criticism or they're becoming distant, right, from you in growing up. So, you know, I just put that out there. Those of you joining us, you know, feel free to chime on in, even on the Blog Talk side. You could post those comments there about, you know, what can you summarize about how you were shown affection or not shown affection or family members particularly your caregivers, did they tell you that they love you often, right? Do you feel like there was a balance, or, you know, something was more of one than the other? Because there's a couple sides to attachment, right? You have where the over, what we would call sexual trauma, right? The overly, you know, meaning you're going too far to where now we don't realize, right, especially as a child, that this is abuse, that this is, you know, molestation. And so you learn this behavior that then becomes, as an adult, possibly your attachment style, right, in connecting with other people to, okay, what happens when you were not shown any affection? You were not told how valuable you are, or that, you know, you're loved. Right.
Yeah, I think my mom was more action. I knew based off her actions.
Got it. Okay.
You know, she tells me, I think as I've gotten older, she has made it a point to tell me more now.
Okay.
As I've gotten older. But she was more of action. It was in her actions that it was obvious for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we shift into, you know, continue to talk about, okay, let's process this a little bit, right? If we say that we learned from our primary caregivers how to form meaningful relationships, what does that actually mean, right? What does that actually mean when you say, okay, the life we experience has an influence over how we conduct ourselves, not just in a relationship, other interactions, whether that be at work, whether that be with authority figures, right? Whether that be, you know, even at the grocery store, right? How you connect with people based on how your caregivers, right, cared for you. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about attachment disorders. Of course, these are not adult diagnosed disorders. Right. So let me be clear with that.
Okay.
Attachment disorders are typically diagnosed in children under 5. And you may say, well, what does that mean? You know, how is it that, you know, if it's something that's diagnosed in children, then how do we still hang on to this, right, as an adult? How does this play out? Well, we know that because we have such a stigma, or people are now becoming more aware of emotional issues that they are having or relational issues, we are finding where there are more unresolved issues that happen in childhood that people as adults are just now, right, beginning to address, right?
Okay.
So, no, we're not per se diagnosing an adult with an attachment disorder, but we do find where the reasons why they suffer from depression, anxiety, those adult, you know, even bipolar disorder, which is the manic episodes and the depression, we find that a lot of times this comes from unresolved issues in childhood, which because you've surpassed the age where we diagnose a child with attachment disorders, you now have transitioned into what we call an adult disorder, right? So I just want to be clear with that, right? We're not going to give you an attachment disorder diagnosis as an adult. We're just going to tap into what happened in your childhood, right? That has you this way, right? And I think that's the vulnerable part for me, is how can us as a society better help people who we know have unresolved issues stemming from relationships from caregivers.
Wow.
Right. Even to when you're dating, even with, you know, when you have adult children, right? Are you open and willing to accept that there may have been some disconnection or some things that have happened to them in childhood that they're just now telling you about, right? That they're just now saying, okay, this is affecting me now as an adult, but it happened back when, right? And I'm talking about this because I feel like, you know, this my soapbox as a clinician. We're not really open to accepting that adults can still be dealing with stuff from childhood, even in 40, 50, 60, 70.
Wow. Okay.
You know, it's almost like enough time has gone by. mm-hmm. right, for you to quote unquote be over whatever happened to you in your childhood. And it's so not the case, right? Because as an adult, you've lived a life that could have been full of betrayal, right? Full of resentment,
yes.
full of bad relationships,
yes.
only to find out what is going on with me? Why is my life like this, right? Okay. But if you come to your professional, we're now promoting, okay, stop. Let's take a look at what traumatic experiences you've experienced in your childhood, which could include parental relationships. We've not been so open, right, to having compassionate empathy for that late adult, right, who says, okay, I need to go get help, right, for my daddy issues, mm-hmm. right, for my mama issues, from mm-hmm. whoever it is that could possibly have violated you mm-hmm. or disrupted your attachment process.
That's a lot. You said a whole lot. I mean, no, I think the conversation is necessary. The conversation is absolutely necessary because there are people who are walking around with unresolved conversations. Even sometimes it's not even the physical thing. It's an it's a conversation.
Correct.
It could be a verbal
right.
Thing, and you carry this stigma based off something somebody said to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those things could be almost as detrimental as the physical.
Correct. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with the physical, right? There are some adults right now who are still trying to figure out why my caregiver, which includes mother, father, grandmother, aunt, foster parent, mm-hmm. why did they treat me this way? What, how did this happen, right? What was it about me that didn't warrant love or, you know, this violation, this abuse, right? What was it? And so when I get older, I seek answers, and seeking those answers in the wrong place, obviously, right, got you more hurt, betrayal, and a blow to your self-esteem and your self-confidence,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's like the starting point, right? The starting point of, okay, let's look at, you know, these attachment disorders. And so one of the attachment disorders that we look into is called avoidant and dismissive disorder. And so I'm going to put out there, if this was a child, this is what we would observe in this particular attachment disorder. And so keeping in mind that although we don't diagnose attachment disorders typically after 5, we understand that if these issues are not addressed, they manifest into adulthood, which transitions into more moderate to severe emotional issues or attachment issues. And so avoidant and dismissive attachment disorder is where this is a pattern, right, of learned in childhood when the caregivers are distant or critical, okay? This is where the child could not trust an adult, these adults, to meet their needs, their emotional needs. So they were distant and they were critical. And so this is where the child learned to shove those needs out of sight because internally, they were focused on this is hopeless, right? And so they can't depend on anyone. So they literally conditioned themselves to hold everything in because they can't depend on the person who's taking care of them that's supposed to be fostering and nurturing them, encouraging them, and providing them with emotional support. It's not there. So they distance themselves emotionally, which transitions into what? An adult. Right, who will not express their needs or ask help from other people, right? Matter of fact, they tend to express contempt to those who do express their needs. So if they're in a relationship and they may be told, hey, you know, I really need more of this from you. Well, a person who is suffering from avoidant or dismissive, right, attachment style as a child could resent this person, right? Because it's like, why? What do you mean, right? I don't want to hear that, right? That's not me because I've not had to do that, and I had to protect myself
right.
because there was no caregiver there to do this, All right. And so it says relationship for this person may be perceived as a threat to the person's sense of control and may not even be worth it. So they walk away. Right. So when you think about that person who, you know, sometimes we look at a person who's able to walk away from relationships seemingly so easy. On the inside, it's not so easy because to them it's another failed relationship.
Right, right, right.
Right. It's another failed, you know, connection. It's another, you know, hey, this failed because, right, my needs weren't met. But I really didn't express my needs.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
I couldn't allow myself to get close because that's not what I know.
Mm.
Right? So part of it is learned behavior, right? That caregiver who was distant or critical. In other parts, you're protecting yourself. Right? How do I know you're not going to walk off? Right? How do I know you're not going to walk off like my caregivers did? How do I know you're not going to criticize me like my caregivers did? Right? If you're the one who say, you know, you love me. Does that make sense? And so he goes on to say, as an adult, right? So remember, we don't diagnose attachment disorders in adult, but we know that there are some behaviors that typically come with that, which is aggression and anger, critical. They're very critical and blame other people for their problems. They have little to no empathy. They always need to control. They can't trust others, and they cannot depend on anyone. This is not to say, you know, that the unhealthy dependence on other people, but they also, they feel like they can't ever depend on anyone to get something done or collaborate with them.
Okay,
they
okay.
clash with authority figures and they avoid intimacy. And rightfully so, right? So if my caregiver never showed me intimacy, whether that's, you know, verbally or holding me, hugging me, but instead was critical and distant, how then do I actually demonstrate that in a relationship without feeling uncomfortable? Right. If that's what I was shown or that's what I experienced in my early years of attachment, those the most vulnerable years of our life. Right. The formation of our brains and how we connect with humans. It was distant and critical.
That you got a lot of people probably. You have a lot of people walking around like that right now, though.
Absolutely.
Undiagnosed.
Correct.
Yeah,
undiagnosed. That is the key.
That's scary.
Okay.
That's all I got for you. And I'm sorry. I'm like, because that's very scary. That people are therapy. I mean, I know it's factual, but it's scary that you have that many people walking around like that.
So that warrants, you know, the dialogue about, okay, so if we pause and say, let's learn about, you know, if we keep it real, how we act in relationships, whether they're platonic or intimate relationships, is influenced by how we grew up, right?
Okay.
Learned behavior or the defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
How do we become more compassionate and understanding living in a world of technology and social media who can be very cruel and magnified
and very standoffish? You're connected, but you're not.
Okay.
Because when I no longer want to be connected, I just disconnect. But my feelings are still hurt, but I think I'm doing something blocking you. you know, I'm blocking you. So it's making me feel better because I'm blocking you. That's hard to do when in a world where social media is what some are defining their friendships by, how many people they have friended on Facebook.
I also find where social media is becoming a dominant form of communication.
Oh, it is.
Even among people you knew pre-social media.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know,
people you would normally pick up the phone and call.
Right. Right.
You would rather send them a Facebook message.
Yes.
Yeah. Versus, let me just call you real quick.
Right.
But I think it still goes to the, I think for those people we really, really want to be connected to,
mm-hmm.
we still make sure that we have those intimate connections.
Yes. And the downfall to that is we sometimes so like what I find is with someone who has unaddressed attachment issues, social media intensifies the emotions, right? The anxiety, the depression, the feelings of abandonment. Because as you stated, they take, and I'm going literal here, being blocked, they take being, you know, even with text messages, you block on text messages,
yep.
you block on social media,
yep.
You stalk on social media.
Yep.
You know, there's so many levels to how a person with unaddressed issues, and we're talking about this because it's being magnified. Like, I can honestly say that social media is now contributing to people's emotional, you know, instability.
Mm-hmm.
From the lens of they take to heart what people do to them
right.
on social media.
Right.
Right. And so really taking a look at that, you know, how then do we shift? How then do we begin to pay more attention to when you may need to stop social media, when you know, right, that you have some unaddressed issues with attachment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Healthy attachment, because there's a lot of apps out here for meeting people. And I don't have any of those apps, but obviously, you know, my profession warrants to know about them, where the apps are contributing as well. I know we talked about, you know, Facebook and not so much Instagram, but mostly Facebook and Snapchat,
mm-hmm.
all these kind of platforms, but also the dating apps, right?
Right, right,
you can
right, right.
Download
right.
as many as you want to, but people actually start to form attachments based on direct messages from someone you've never met before. And now because you've connected for a period of time, and I'm not even talking years, I'm talking months,
mm-hmm.
you form an attachment to this person. So now when they don't respond by a certain manner, you begin to feel dismissed and rejected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that contributes to your emotional instability. So it's just one of those things where I just, you know, it wants to talk about how the whole aspect of technology also magnifies,
mm-hmm.
right, attachment issues. And so that person that grows up, you know, with the caregiver who was very distant and critical, you know, how do you bounce back from that?
Mm.
Right? Have you ever known someone who grew up with a very critical family where, you know, pretty much everything they did was an issue, or they never got complimented, blamed for stuff?
I know of people who are in families that are that way towards certain family members, that
okay.
what you did would never amount to what they did, or it was never what they thought you should be doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
okay.
And that can cause a underlining issue, where the conversation starts to be, you know, you can never get a real compliment from them. Mm-hmm. You have an accomplishment, and they go, oh, you know, it's like I said this before, got a new car, and her sister saw it,
mm-hmm.
and she made the comment. She's like, oh, that's a nice little old car. And then another family member bought a house. Oh, they got a nice little house.
Right.
And everything
right.
is you know, it's never like, oh, your house is really nice or your house is really amazing. It's always a low key. It's a dig, or it's something to make them feel like it's still not better than mine.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And imagine if that happened as children,
mm-hmm.
right? And how that separates you from forming, right,
mm-hmm.
healthy relationships as adolescent teenagers.
If you do it between siblings, absolutely.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, people sometimes try to figure out, they wonder, well, how can dysfunctional family relationship impact intimate relationship? Mm-hmm. The person is still the same. Mm-hmm. Right? So in that sense, a relationship is a relationship, mm-hmm. in terms of how I feel about you. Mm-hmm. Right? If I feel like you're a threat, right, to my emotional stability, if I feel like you're going to abandon me, if I feel like you're going to love me, right? Most people try to find partners based on how they've been loved, right, by those from their past. So yes, it definitely impacts as an adult how you see, right, intimate relationships. Is okay, how did I grow up feeling loved and seeing love?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what was lacking, right? What does mm-hmm. that mean, you know, as I get older? All right? So another this other attachment here is called, so the first one was avoidant and dismissive,
mm-hmm.
okay? The next one is anxious and ambivalent attachment mm-hmm. disorder.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is the result of a caregiver who was basically hot and cold, right? They often switch from warm affection to cold rejection with no evident reason,
mm-hmm.
right? So that child that can say, okay, wait, you know, 1 minute, right, you're talking to me, you're loving me, then the next minute, you literally don't want to have anything to do with me. And so what usually transitions into adulthood is often feelings of being overly involved with someone or underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And mm-hmm. so really thinking about that as an adult, man, feeling unappreciated by those who care for you.
Mm.
Right. That's huge.
I think that's huge. It because that's the one place where you expect the pat on the back.
Right.
Or the thank you.
Right.
If nothing else, the thank you. If I don't get thank you from nobody, it ought to be at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, when you think about the two elements here, a child that is going through this particular attachment disorder mm-hmm. Has clingy or hostile behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, 1 minute you show a child that you love them, you care for them, and the next minute you reject them. What are they craving for at that point?
Mm.
The affection.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to cling to you, right, mm-hmm. every chance they get, because what are they looking for?
Mm.
That warm, genuine affection.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But now they're hostile because now you're hostile towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So now it's like, okay, how am I supposed to act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now either I'm too anxious or I'm ambivalent, which causes you to be angry and confused.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So now the child is confused. It's okay. Hold on. This doesn't feel good, but this does. What do I get more of? Right.
Mm-hmm.
That which made me feel loved.
And then I go seeking it from the wrong places.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
You're pushing me somewhere else.
Right. And so, you know, they have a parent that's unpredictable.
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
That's loving and giving one moment and then unresponsive the next.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think about that sometimes. Hey, Felicia, thank you for joining us. We're talking about attachment issues here, just getting into the second one, talking about anxious and ambivalent attachment disorder. Basically, the child is a warm, cold caregiver. 1 minute they love her, and then they're there and attentive, and the next minute they feel rejected. Well, the caregiver is unresponsive. And so I think about, you know, what does that mean as an adult? When you try to intentionally hurt your partner by the silent treatment,
mm-hmm.
right, that works, right, because you know how it feels, right? That's the ultimate rejection. That's the ultimate
Right. Yeah.
Way of, yeah. Okay, let me show you how responsive I can be and what mm-hmm. that feels like, because here we are. I know how that feels, and
mm-hmm.
therefore, this is my learned behavior. So, kid.
I'm listening. I'm sorry. I'm listening.
No, it's interesting because sometimes I've asked people, is that a deal breaker for mm-hmm. them in relationships? Hey, Patrick, how are you? Long time no hear from. What does that mean when is that a deal breaker that someone gives you the silent treatment as their way of getting back at you? Is that a deal breaker for you?
I don't mind the silent treatment.
No, now, not the if we're talking and you just straight walk away like I'm not saying anything to you, that's okay?
I don't mind the silent treatment.
I'll talk to my friend Felicia and Patrick. All right, we're talking about attachment issues, and one of those where you grow up with a parent that's unresponsive, they ignore you, right? Next minute they may love you, but when they don't want to have anything to do with you, you just don't exist to them. The question was, as an adult, is that a deal breaker in a relationship if your partner, who is used to this, decides to walk away every time you're in the midst of a discussion that's not comfortable?
See, that's not what I don't deem that the silent treatment.
What do you
I deem the silent treatment is you made me mad, and after this conversation is over, I'm going to go sit somewhere and I ain't got nothing else to say to you. I'm going to finish the conversation and then
I'm
done.
Okay.
And then I'm done.
That's not the question.
That's to me, that I thought that was the silent treatment that I know of.
Okay, fair enough. So
yeah.
So the treatment is if we're in a heated discussion, and heated as in we need to come to a resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, I'm done, right? I'm done with you. I don't want to hear anymore. And I sit there and stare at you.
Okay.
Right? I've gone into, you know, silent treatment. is that acceptable behavior? And I'm going somewhere with this. So Felicia says, didn't the good Reverend Doctor say he would sleep on the floor in the kitchen for peace?
Exactly. Exactly.
Y'all are funny.
I would. I'd rather get the silent treatment than to have the yelling going back and forth.
So okay, so that I get.
So I'd rather you I'd rather you stop talking to me and say, you know what, you go in the room, slam the door, whatever you're gonna do.
Okay.
And not talk. And then, you know, whatever needs to happen, whatever time needs to pass, we can hash it out. But that yelling and arguing back and forth.
Okay.
Dana don't play that. I don't play that game.
So welcome everybody who's joining us.
Yeah.
So listen, remember we're talking about dysfunction.
Okay. Yeah.
Now you are describing conflict resolution tactics.
Oh.
I'm talking about someone who has learned an attachment style.
Okay.
Where when they're done, right,
mm-hmm.
they become unresponsive.
I know those people too.
Right? So is that a deal breaker when you have an unresponsive person whose attachment style is when I don't feel like dealing with you or the situation,
mm-hmm.
I'm unresponsive now, in whatever way that looks. So I get what you're saying, but this is the dysfunction. This is the, you know, I don't have anything else to say now or coming up,
mm-hmm.
right? There is no resolve because at this point I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you talk about relationships, a lot of resentment forms in these relationships because it's like we don't ever talk things through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because one and then you'll come back as if nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dysfunction part. Right. When you've done what you did. Right. Which is ignore, walk away, turn your back, whatever your action is.
Mm-hmm.
But you come back as if. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we're
mm-hmm.
not concluding anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but this is how, right? This is my attachment style. So how do you be in a relationship, or how do you continue even with family relationships where, as a child you were treated this way, and as an adult this is now how you function.
And if that's not. Yeah, and that's unfortunately I've seen people do that in because that's something that they've never dealt with on a personal level.
Right.
It carries over into their professional lives, and
right.
I've seen people who've
right.
had to have hard conversations with people that they work with, and those people at work shut down completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, They just shut down completely, and they go sit at their desk or whatever it is, and, you know, go sit in the bathroom, go smoke a cigarette, whatever they do, and then they're just done for the day.
Right.
And they're completely dysfunctional.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you think about, if we say our caregivers, that's the first, that's our first teacher, right? Our caregivers are our first teacher.
Yeah.
So that hot and cold parent, we've read and learned very well. We can transition into adulthood that we apply these same practices, right? If
right.
you are a hot and cold person to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, my heightened, right? My heightened emotional roller coasters are going to intensify because, right, we have this friction between mm-hmm. us, whether that's coworker, whether that's, you know, even to adult-child relationships, mm-hmm. parent-child relationships, right? It very well can kick in strong, and here you are, you know, you're trying to figure out what's going on with me, right? What's going on that my symptoms of, you know, idealizing relationships is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You begin to kick into, well, this is how I think it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you force that upon someone. And so it says here, some signs of adult anxious and ambivalent attachment issues are dependence on relationships. So before,
mm-hmm.
remember we said you don't depend on relationship. This particular disorder kind of looks at where you do depend on relationships, right? That need, that yearning is there. You have jealous or clingy behavior. You have an excessive need for contact and affection. You rely on partners for everything. You cannot take rejection. You become possessive, and you have frequent mood swings.
Felicia says, sounds like an avoider. Some people just shut down with confrontation.
Yes.
Then she says, it's like my mom when I disagree with anything, she immediately becomes offensive. It's okay if people don't agree with you. They are not attacking you or hate you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's hard when you think about this attachment stuff can go on for generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're just living in a time right now where everyone can express their emotions whenever they can or whenever they want to and however they want to. Right? So for instance, you know, before all the pagers, well, before the cell phone, right? The smartphones and all this stuff, you just couldn't call somebody and say, hey, by the way, where, oh, I feel like, you know, you ignore me, or I feel like you need to be doing this, right? That's the clingy, that's the jealous, that's the, you know, the needy behavior. You can express that any moment now.
Mm-hmm.
Text message, email.
Mm-hmm.
You can FaceTime somebody,
mm-hmm.
right? You
mm-hmm.
can send videos to people.
Yeah.
You know, DM somebody. Post on Facebook, all these platforms to practice these behaviors that we say magnifies or intensifies your emotional state.
Right.
Right. It's huge. It's huge. And people are losing their lives. People are losing their marriages. Right. People are losing their marriages over social media.
No. Okay.
What's wrong?
Mine was over before that, so I'm good.
It's not about you.
Oh, okay. Well, good. That's good to know. On that note.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I put that out there because Felicia says people instantly turn to social media for agreement. Yes, right? It's one of, you know, when you talk about a person who is clingy or can't take rejection, and now you get to, there's a timeline on answering texts, there's a timeline on answering instant messages, the direct messages, there's a time, right? You have a set time that you must get back to the person before they say they feel rejected. I don't know how you all feel, but if you tell me you feel like I'm rejecting you, I take that to heart. But if you say, okay, how did you feel rejected? You say, well, I feel like, you know, if I text you 15 minutes ago, you could have.
I saw you read it. Why my message sat there all the time? You read it, and then you don't respond. You busy? Say you busy then.
But do you see how... That's, I'm not laughing. First of all, I'm laughing at you.
I'm laughing at the people.
But the seriousness of this is it's huge. Like, that person who is seeking that attention, they're serious. You know what I'm like? They're serious with, okay, you know, we're instant now, right? I don't have to wait till you get home for you to listen to your answering machine.
Right.
You have voicemail,
right?
You're not that busy at work. You know what I'm saying? You get a break.
They assume.
Correct.
Right.
But even if they assume, they're still going to say, no, you could have stopped and said something.
Well, so, you always got your phone in your hand.
Right.
So how you not, right.
You saw the notification. I think that the enhancement of technology has really exacerbated how a person can engage in this particular behavior that's detrimental to their mental.
I often wonder if for with Lent, we're in the Lent season. I don't really do Lent or whatever. But I often wonder if for 30 days caller ID went away. Right? So we had no caller ID.
Okay.
And the result was when you call somebody, you got a busy signal, so no call waiting.
Okay.
And so it forced you, and text messaging was not available. How would we then have to relate to one another? Because right now everything is we go with the assumption of it's not like a letter. We drop in the mail,
right,
and we hope that it gets there.
Right.
If now I sent you an email, I got a delivery receipt. When you opened it, I got a read receipt.
Right.
And same thing with text. It's like when you send a Facebook message, it says you get the light checkbox saying it was sent. You get the gray checkbox saying it was delivered. And then when you read it, your picture moves and it says, okay, it has been opened.
Right.
So, and that was 45 minutes ago.
45 minutes ago.
So where you at?
But how do you have, see, here's the thing, that person, they don't have empathy, right, to say, okay, you have a life, right? But
yeah.
They want what they want at that moment. So I think we
as, I am your life.
So
you're talking
we
about
have,
attachment issues, right?
Yes.
I am your life. When I eat you, okay.
What?
Huh?
What? Yo, you didn't went too far.
I'm just saying.
But no, I think that when you think about that person on the side of anxious and ambivalent, you have those key elements here, right? Where they are idolizing or idealizing what the relationship looks like. Right, they are dependent on this relationship because they experience right hot and cold. They experience one minute you want me, one minute you don't. Meaning the caregivers did. So I have to hold on as tight as I can. Right, if you give me or you show some consistency in loving me, then I'm going to put the clamps on. And listen, it doesn't even time is not relevant here. So whether you did this for 2 months or you've done it for a year, my level of clinginess can be just as intense if we met 2 months ago or 2 years ago. Right? Because my body felt something that I've yearned for a long time or lacked inconsistency in, and here you are, a person. That's why, you know, I find this with a lot of our young people, and this is so valid, where we have a lot of broken homes. We have a lot of kids. We have a lot of youth who absolutely, positively are not shown love or is so inconsistent because we have parents, caregivers that are preoccupied. So what do? they find peers who are filling in these voids. And so now who am I focused on? My world now revolves around the peers, right, or these other adults, right, who have a motive other than to love me purely, right? That's who I'm gravitating towards. That's who I'm devoting my attention to. I've never seen so many young people. When I say young people, I mean teenagers, you know, late teens who say, when I meet somebody, I give them 100% of me on day one.
Okay.
Right? Because they feel like, okay, if I give them all of me, then they're going to give me all of them. Hence, right?
So it's
you find somebody else like you.
Premature all in, premature investment without, yeah. Okay.
Felicia says, Felicia, I got to find that button on the iPhone that shows you did me.
I thought you had Android.
That's the work phone.
Oh, got it. I forgot you lost your phone when you got here.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Felicia, is this the same definition as codependent? It can be, Felicia. So really, in terms of two people who are functioning well at a level of dysfunction, where staying together supports and fosters that dysfunctional behavior. So if you have someone where I have a partner who's using drugs, and I, you know, support them basically condoning their use by giving them a place to stay, giving them money to buy drugs instead of them going out breaking the law, I may say, hey, you know, at least I know that you're not breaking the law. Hence, they keep their addiction, right? So that's more the codependency is that level of dysfunction between, you know, two people where we have some, you know, detrimental behaviors going on. But, yeah, it could be in the same area, right? Especially if you get two people with attachment issues, right? If you have two people with attachment issues where they're both clingy, we have a serious situation. Right? Because all day is spent what? Tracking, being jealous.
Somebody going to end up dead.
Or in a domestic violence situation. Right? And it looks different from men to women, although women can be, we can be violent as well. But the outcome of clingy behavior when you feel rejected can be massive. Right, can be massive. So that is why we're talking about healing from attachment issues is not necessarily, let's not focus on you have a disorder, but more of looking at, you know, where did these behaviors come from? How did they cultivate, right? How do you heal from when your first starting point of feeling loved, right, was flawed? Right? Can you rebound from that? Can you bounce back from when your upbringing, meaning those caregiving, those nurturing relationships, were flawed? And this can range from abuse, violation, to not fair, inconsistent, right? You know, hot and cold. All those things play a factor into it. Can you heal? And the answer is yes. Right? But the first step is acknowledging that you have some internal issues you have to address. Mm-hmm. Right? And we not need to be ashamed to say that we need to start a huge healing process in our communities because we have so much going on. Violence, right? We have a lot of broken homes. Right. We have a lot of, just go put it out there. Relationships being intentionally destroyed. Mm-hmm. Right. We're very in some ways we're very vindictive now in how we treat each other.
OK,
so that warrants. OK, let me take a step back. Right. Because you're right. If I feel like you've taken something from me that I value so much, right, and this is the first time I felt good, I am more likely to harm you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's where this comes from is, you know, you're taking something from me, right, that's mine, right? This is mine. This is my property. This person who loves me, and I'm not gonna let you take this love away from me. So I try to take the other person out. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Right. So really thinking about as a community, we have to talk about these things. Like, okay, right? As adults, we have some attachment issues. Period. Right? We have attachment issues. If we, you know, I think we've made so much light of side chicks, right? And the other woman. We talk about this as if.
You have to be gender neutral. Side piece.
So yes. But side piece sounds like objectifying.
I'm just saying it's side piece because women have side pieces and men have side pieces. So it's not side chicks anymore. It's just side piece.
Your side person.
You trying to clean it up.
Okay. We have side people right now where it's not necessarily shunned upon, but we're condoning. Like we're making exceptions, right, for this being a part of something that we say is being normalized.
Your beard.
Your who?
Your beard.
Your beard?
Yes.
What beard?
That's what they call the women who are married to the gay pastors.
Women who are married to the gay pastors.
The wife is known as the beard.
Stop. Okay. Felicia says.
Kim Tony says the jump off.
Jump. Okay. Thanks.
In the watch party, the jump off.
There we go. Y'all help me out here. Felicia says we got side friends. We got side. Yeah, we have situationships, right? And you know, all these elements foster attachment issues. Like how do you form friendship that now says as friends we can have as much sex as we want to and stay just friends without becoming clingy, jealous, or resentment towards the person when they get a quote unquote partner?
I'm sorry, let me make sure I heard that right. You said this your situationship.
Yes.
And y'all doing whatever y'all want to do, but then when the other person finally gets into a committed relationship, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, but Houston, we got a problem.
But that's common now.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not debating it.
And thinking about, and you say, well, how does this fit into? Because if I'm a woman that is seeking for love, if I'm a woman that is craving for attention, I accept situationships.
Okay.
Right? Because that's where I say, that's all I'm worth. So here I am. I found friends that says I don't have to be quote unquote your boo, but the most intimate part of two people, which is having sex, if we could just keep that component, that makes me feel special. And I'm going to hold on to that. Right?
You take that away.
You take that away.
Or you're sharing it.
I'm going to feel rejected.
Right.
Hence what's going to kick in? Jealousy, right? Excessive need for contact and affection from this person. But guess what? You knew this, and this is what the feedback is. You knew this when we got together, right? You knew this when we first started this, that we were just going to be friends with benefits. So this whole, you know, thinking about, we have to press pause now because people are having nervous breakdowns. People are, you know, engaging in behaviors that catching cases.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
we're stalking.
Yeah.
We're blowing out tires. We're busting out windows.
Bust the windows out your car.
We're breaking out windows. And it gets to, where did this all start? Where did your need to feel love and affection come from to be so strong that you have to seek it like this?
That's good.
Can we have enough of us that are fairly healthy functioning, because we are not perfect, to say, okay, can we push this? Can we advocate? Can we get out there in the community, right, to say, okay, right, let's look at how we attach to each other right now. I think this is one of the things that, you know, I want to talk about, because this is so detrimental to some of our communities right now. We don't have healthy attaching relationships going on now.
Okay.
From our boys getting connected to the streets, right? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? If nobody's home loving them, and this person says, here's a few dollars to get you something to eat, go to school, you won't be bullied anymore. Guess what? We fulfilled an emotional need for this young person.
Facts. Facts. Facts.
Right? So we have to start tightening up on saying, no, this is enough of this, right? Enough of this dysfunction, right? Stop blaming the kids for all the behavior when we know, right, some of our adults are actually doing the same behavior. Some of our adults are doing the same behaviors as these kids because it's unaddressed issues from childhood.
Speaking of, back to your poll question, we only got one answer so far. is it possible for adults to have attachment issues? The poll question is only on the main feed, so if you're in the watch party, you need to switch over if you want to answer the poll question. It says, is it possible for adults to have attachment issues? Right now, it's 100% yes. I don't know if that's only one answer. I can only see that, but it says 100% yes. So it is possible, some people believe.
Okay. Felicia says it never works. All the episodes of Dateline is snap yes, right, in feeling overwhelmed. So you know, I hope that, you know, we could talk about this more in a sense of – let's start paying more attention to our friends and family, right, who we know behaviors could get out of hand, right? Our young ladies that's in our circle, right, our young ladies in our families, right, we know that, okay, if you're clinging now to every guy or every girl that steps to you, right, that's an attachment issue. If you're excessively calling someone, if you know, that's, you know, in that warrants looking inside your home as well, to say, okay, what's happening here, right, that you have to do X, Y, Z to get attention. You have to do X, Y, or you're distant, you can't love, because that's the opposite of attachment disorder, right? You don't get close to people. So this person goes from person to person with no regard.
Okay.
Right? Can we have those conversations? So that's my challenge. My challenge is that we look in our circles. We talk more to our friends and our peers. Right? Are you really okay?
Would this cause people to – would this be something that would draw people to multiple relationships because they're so afraid of losing or being alone?
Commitment.
That they say, you know, I know this ain't going to last, so I need to have – 2, 3, 4, 5 on things going on at the same time.
I believe that there are factors to that, meaning that person who you know, or avoidant, right? They kind of have a revolving door, if you will, because they're not forming healthy attachments, right? So that person who expressed, hey, I need more of you, right? Or I need more, that could be a turnoff to them. Right, because they're not doing that, so what, you know, what's up with that, right?
Okay.
You can appear needy to them, but then you are aggressive, right? You're critical. You can't trust others, so you're not going to stick around too long if you constantly tell a person, hey, I feel like I can't trust you. Something's going to have to give, right? So you either going to have a revolving door voluntarily, or people are not going to stay with you. Right, because you have these unresolved issues, right, from that stems back to caregiving attachment styles. Yeah, it like you said, you have to talk to that person and see what happened, right? But our communities, we're just saturated with trauma, right? We're saturated with disappointment.
Yes,
we're saturated with the world saying a man will never be faithful, right? So,
oh,
so there's
the
some generations who
all men are dogs category. Those are like the most irritating posts to that. Do any you see people posting on Facebook? Is there such thing as a faithful person, as a faithful man? Just because you've been dealing with clowns your whole life, how you going to just, you know?
And when you think about that,
what you are.
We are. Social media allows people to post those things, and it gets saturated in people's psyche, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm already struggling with trust issues,
right,
and I see 1, 2, 3, I have 5,000 friends, and now every time I look at Facebook, I get a confirmation,
mm-hmm,
right, that you can't trust men. That mm-hmm does not help my emotional stability.
Right.
Does it make sense? And vice versa to women. You understand what I'm saying? When people put out in the atmosphere what they've gone through, and now we have generations who are coming up reading this stuff off the bat,
mm-hmm,
right? So those young people who are reading, right, and they're getting back to their kid. Well, you're right, because, you know, my mama did this or my daddy did that, so let me not trust anybody from this point forward.
Mm-hmm.
Which in authority, a lot of our kids now have authority issues because we are promoting, right?
Okay.
This is how you don't have to respect anybody that disrespects you.
Yes. I've seen that even in schools.
Right?
Don't holler at me, you ain't my mama.
Right. And even when she hollers at you, you still don't pay attention.
You can't tell me what to do.
Right.
You ain't my mama.
Right. So you know, understanding it will get worse if we truly don't address what's really happening,
mm-hmm,
right? If we don't address our own attachment issues, if
mm-hmm
we don't address our own clingy behavior, we don't address our own, right, lack of empathy, you know, lack of our jealous behavior,
mm-hmm,
our own over expectations. Right, for what relationships, a lot of reality shows are dictating, right?
Right, right.
How we see relationships, we connect that back with, you know, confirming what we went through growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have to be very careful now. I dare not say we need to be just as conscious about our mental wellness just as much as our physical wellness.
Mm.
All right? So there you have it, right? Healing from attachment issues starts when you can identify behaviors that you feel, not that society feels, but that you feel is not working for you,
mm-hmm,
as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's mm-hmm first start, is recognizing what's not working for you. If you're tired of losing friends, if you're tired of people taking advantage of you, if you're tired of experiencing certain types of emotions such as anxiety, depression,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
especially when it comes to related to people, acknowledgement, number one, that something needs to change,
mm-hmm,
and seek the appropriate platform,
mm-hmm,
right? And that is counseling and or coaches and or spiritual guidance, something other than a platform that's going to condone,
mm-hmm,
why you should continue doing
right, 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 right.
Absolutely. All right. So thank you all for sticking in there, tuning in with us. You know, we're going to keep at it. It's 2020.
I don't get no warning. It's
right? Like, it's 2020. You know that lady came on here and said 90 seconds, like 10 minutes
ago.
Yeah,
but we said because we started late, and then we restarted, and we did that. So I don't pay her no attention. She don't run nothing. It's when she say 90 seconds the second time. It's when we got to listen. So I extended the show.
God,
so, you know,
funny.
But you, because technically you got 21 minutes.
21 minutes?
Yeah. I'm just letting you know. I mean, you do what you got to do. I'm just saying.
I want people to just think about themselves.
Okay.
Right? If you could say it's all about me right now, and I'm cool with how I function with people, right? That's
uh-huh
what I want people to be. Self-reflection. Right? Self-reflect on, are you clingy?
Okay.
Self-reflect on, do you feel like you have attachment issues? Do you feel like you depend on people for validation? Do you accept criticism well, or do you criticize your circle a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've said we have some very good friends out there, right, who accept you for who you are, but you also know there's room for growth. Right. So do you criticize people a lot? do you turn people off intentionally because, you know, you feel in some type of way? I used to hear people say a lot, you know, you should just accept me for who I am. Mm-hmm. That's true to an extent, because if I see that the way I'm acting towards other people, it is not making our relationship, and I'm not talking about intimate relationship, work relationships. Mm-hmm. If it's not making a conducive environment where everybody feels comfortable, how then do you continue to say, accept me for who I am?
Right.
That's the easy way out. That's the avoidance, right? That's a denial stage of you have something you need to look at. Mm-hmm. People don't have to accept you for who you are. Especially if you say this is a character flaw and you say, I don't have to address it.
Hmm.
Right? Right? Because there could be some people who are trying to love you,
mm-hmm.
but don't know how.
Okay.
Right? There could be some people who are genuinely interested in how you're doing for the day. Right? But they don't know how to approach you because you say, this is how I look all the time.
Hmm.
Right. But that could be where you are avoiding. Right. That you don't want people to get close to you. Right. Because of attachment issues.
Mm-hmm.
It warrants a conversation. So I say, hey, you know, Jane, how you doing today? And you're a person that, you know, no, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
You could be short or you can pretend like you didn't hear me.
True.
Right. So. But then on the other hand, you say, well, you know, everybody at work got an attitude towards me.
All y'all hating on me.
You are unapproachable. Right? So that's where we are. Self-awareness. Self-examination. Check your self-esteem. Right? Check your friendship. Check in with your friendship.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right? Check in with your partner to see, are we okay? Are we good? Right? Check in with your caregivers. If you still, you know, have them with you, check in with your kids. Right?
Check Mike.
Check in with your kids if they're okay with the way you love them. And I'm not saying they're going to tell you, dictate to you how to do it, but check in with your kids to see, you know, hey, are we good?
Right?
I'll do that when I get home.
That's beautiful.
I'll do that. You gonna do it when you get home? It is somebody for you to check in. It don't have to be at your house.
Oh, okay. I'll check in.
I said, are you gonna? Are you gonna check in tonight?
I'm gonna check my email.
I wish I had access to him. I'm like, did your daddy check in with you to see if everything was okay?
Son.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so you can ask for
Uber. That's not the point. I want you to call those people, especially your kids. If you have adult kids that you have not connected with in a while, this is real talk. Connect with them to see, how can we fix this? How can we begin to heal and repair our relationships?
Uh-huh.
All right? I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to connect with your children that you are distant from. Believe me, that is the opening to healing. Those who you know you should be in relationship with, in a better place with, but you rather avoid and stay away from and then antagonize yourself instead of making amends.
Okay.
Right. So there we go. All right. So we coming back next week. It's March. It's March Madness.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of sports going on.
Yeah.
All right. I got to figure out what we're going to talk about this month, you know, to make sure we stay on task. All right. Until next week, thank you for tuning in on the Blog Talk Radio side, Facebook Live. Peace out. Have a good evening.